So I'm working on getting some audio around what Will Clark said about Rafael Devers. I think it could happen in the next hour. It's from a podcast, and there's an F-bomb in it, so I can't play it. I think I might have sent it to you, Zoo. Do not play that. Marco said he might be able to cut it up, whatever. But Rafael Devers is an interesting one. As we're talking trade deadline, I had somebody say to me today, like, oh, you know, Devers is, like, being insubordinate over there in San Francisco. Like, if we can get him on board, like, the Yankees should trade for him. And I'm like, no one can get him on board. He's got a huge contract and a huge ego. And, you know, if he told Will Clark, like, yeah, I'm going to show up and work with you, and then stood him up, like, whatever. Anyway, bam, 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 bam. As I hit refresh on the standings, the Make It Happen Mets are back tied for first place. Ding, 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 ding. Shout out to Military Mike in the chat. He said the Phillies just lost on an inside park home run. We're back in first. LGM, what's going on, Keith? Is that true? If that's true, there were multiple inside the park home runs in Major League Baseball last night. I saw my dude Law, Lawrence Butler from the A's had one. Yeah, look Patrick at this. Bailey. Patrick Bailey inside the park, walk-off homer while I'm live on air 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. Have you ever seen a walk-off inside the park home run? Now you have. Yeah, because out there in San Francisco, that hits off the wall. It's going a long way. Oh, and they're turned up. Wow. Inside the park walk, that's so lit to see. Like, if you're there and you see them win like that, that's crazy. So the first inside the park walk-off home run from a catcher since Beanie Tate on August 11, 1926, Jeff Passan writes. But yeah, congrats to the Mets fans. You're there now, and you're facing the Baltimore Orioles. Hold it down. Handle business. Stay where you are. Into the All-Star break. All is well that ends well, right? You stumbled a little bit. I know you got to go to Kansas City, but okay, it's Kansas City. You stumbled a little bit, but you have the chance to go into the break as the first place team in the National League East. 888-808-1019. You know, for the Yankees, you know, with Judge and this race, Judge is the, you know, top vote getter. And Judge is going to be an All-Star, you know that. And Cal Raleigh is in town. You knew there was going to be fireworks. I can't tell you how hyped I was to see Judge hit that home run. I had a take yesterday where I said, I want Cal Raleigh to do the home run derby. I want him to hit from both sides like Adley Rutschman did in Seattle. I want him to hit from both sides, win it, and then I want that to affect his approach at the plate so Judge can catch him. You know, Judge was one behind him, and then Jeff Hartlieb served him up one that you knew he was going to hit out. And so now he's back to being two in front of Aaron Judge. What else from the internet and the interwebs? Oh, the Dodgers. The Dodgers are going through it right now. So if it makes you feel better at home, Mets fans and Yankee fans, you know, we just had these little losing streaks. Well, the Brewers just handed the Dodgers their fifth loss in a row. And, you know, we just talked about, like, oh, these things happen, or, you know, this is just baseball. And, I mean, it seems like the sky is falling when it's happening to your team, but it does happen. It does happen to a lot of teams in baseball. So as I look at the standings, and we talk about the San Francisco Giants, right, they just walked off on the Phillies. They're five games back from the Dodgers as the Dodgers go L5. The Pittsburgh Pirates, who had swept the Mets, kind of sending the Mets into a little bit of a frenzy, they just went L5. Like, baseball is crazy right now. The Nationals, who just fired their general manager and manager, have lost four in a row. The Atlanta Braves, forget about the Braves, they've lost five in a row. It's tough out here. It is tough out here. The Boston Red Sox are streaking. They've won five in a row. The Detroit Tigers have won five in a row. And I hate to report this to the Yankee universe, but the Toronto Blue Jays have won 10 in a row. They're 3.5 games up. The Yankees are closer in the standings. to the fourth place Boston Red Sox than the first place Toronto Blue Jays. Yep. Yep. So it is what it is, man. Gotta handle business against the Mariners. Gotta handle business at home. And I think the Yankees will. Shout out to Amber in the chat. She said, I watched Talking Yanks 2 today, and they did bring up a good point that maybe they're making the players accountable just behind closed doors and not out in the media or the public. And I sure hope so. I believe so. I absolutely believe so. And I think Boone kind of said some of that with Volpe. Like, we are demanding more from him and better from him and working on it. They will never rip the players. And I'll say that to say this. There was a quote that I tweeted today from the NL Manager of the Year, Pat Murphy, who kind of stole that from Carlos Mendoza. Carlos Mendoza should have been Manager of the Year. But whatever. Pat Murphy from the Brewers, who ended up taking the L to Mendoza in the wild card anyway. There was a quote about Joey Ortiz. You Met fans just saw Joey Ortiz. Joey Ortiz was out of the lineup two nights ago, and they asked the manager, is he dealing with something? And Pat Murphy, who was an old school fool, said, yeah, the manager's pissed. I want him to give me his best approach at the plate every day, and we've given him a lot. We're playing him every day, and he just can't have lapses at the plate like that. So for everybody that likes to say, oh, you can't call these guys out. Oh, you got to coddle these players. Oh, there's no Billy Martins anymore. Like, hey, Pat Murphy turned up on a guy. Hey, is he hurt? Why is he out of the lineup? Nah, I'm pissed at him. I want better from him. I want a better approach at the plate. And, like, we're playing him, so, like, we expect more from him. And they've got a bunch of guys for the Brewers. Even this guy, the Miz. Jacob Mizorowski goes out there tonight. And I know the Mets fans just saw him and saw the grand slam Nimmo hit off of him. But he goes out there against the Dodgers tonight. 6 innings pitch, only giving up 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk. A career-high 12 strikeouts. Dodgers couldn't do anything with him. So there's a little look around the league. As we proceed to give you what you need, I know you want to talk about the Yankees, though, so let's do it. Moose is in Jamaica on the fan. What's up, Moose?
You're a thief. What to do? Good morning. So, Pete Game, I just want to show some love. Might sound like glazing to Judge, but you know what it is, right? He's at 349 right now, regardless of what he does for the rest of the season. Let's say he gets the 50-some homers. He's under contract for another 6 seasons. If he averages 50 bombs, he's looking at another 300 homers. We're looking at an all-time great in front of our very own eyes. And I know he struggles in the postseason, but even A-Rod got out of it and helped us win the ring. So that being said, I'm more sure of the fact, regardless of how well he does in the postseason, he's an all-time great that we're watching our very own eyes, so we can't take this for granted. Because him, people like him don't grow on trees. That's all I have to say, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Moose. I am kind of getting tired of y'all saying we can't take Judge for granted. Who does? Who does? Bro, Judge got hit in the face by a throw from Volpe. I had deleted all social media over the weekend to try to spend, you know, undivided time and give every waking moment to my wife and my son. I'm getting text messages about, bro, look what he did to Judge. Yo, did you see this video? Nah, bro, I deleted Twitter and Instagram. Is this real? Yeah, look. Judge was bleeding. I don't think anybody takes dude for granted. I don't think anybody thinks that this is, going to come around again. Like, we realize what we're witnessing. Judge needs one homer to reach 350 career home runs. That's the most through a player's first 1,084 career games. Like, Judge is still breaking records and breaking baseball. He just went up. They showed the stat, like, the top 10 for how many home runs the guys have had before the All-Star break. He's going to put himself up there higher. He just did tonight. Cal Raleigh did as well. He's got 34 before the All-Star break. He'll hit another one this week. Like, I don't think. And shout out to you, Moose. Appreciate you, bro. And you always call my show. And I don't mean to lean into, but I'm like, I hear Susan say it. I hear everybody. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Nobody is taking this dude for granted. We know his value and his worth. We lived through 2023 when he ran into the wall and wasn't here. We know what the team is like without him. We've watched his at-bats. We know his prowess. We know we're watching a guy that's going to win MVP. Cal Raleigh's not going to win the MVP. But we also know a guy that might actually win the MVP and Triple Crown. Like, we're not, I don't know. I don't think anybody that's ever watched baseball, watched the Yankees, and is more than a casual fan is taking Aaron Judge for granted. We understand. We get it. This guy is a freak of nature. This guy is different. We're blessed as Yankee fans to have him. And that's why I go back to, you don't sell at the deadline. What are y'all talking about? You're not selling in Judge's prime. There is no sell. Because what I see, and I've talked about this so much, this is a guy who failed at the highest level. His daughter was born. He's a different dude. So all we need is 1 year. All we need is one October for them to pitch to Judge and for Judge to be Judge. And that might be enough to win us some games each round and get us back to the world. Like, come on, yo. What are we talking about? I don't think anybody's taking this for granted. Chris is in Port Washington on the fan. What's up, Chris?
What's up, man? How are you? All right, you got to answer a couple of questions. Do you view the Boone and Cashman era a success?
I don't view it a failure. I don't go as far as Big Mac. Like, Big Mac has some takes where I'm just like, bruh, like.
Okay.
Like, right. And I'll say this. We, you know, because, you know, Big Mac was talking basically like how we could be worse off. And like, we are comparing the Yankees to the Yankees of the past.
Right. Fair enough. Would you want to get rid of Boone and or Cashman right now?
No, you can't do that. Incomplete. You can't do that in the middle of the mission.
I know where I'm going with this. When would you have in the last, let's say, 5 or 6 years, would you agree they overstayed their welcome?
I was ready to get rid of Boone when they lost to the Boston Red Sox in the wild card game in 2021.
Okay. What's the same thing that they have in common with the New York Giants?
The same thing they have in common with the New York Giants? Just say they've been around for a long time. They have a lot of the same fans. They have a championship pedigree.
The legendary owners hired the last coach that the Giants won a Super Bowl with, Tom Coughlin. Hal and Hank hired Boone. How do we know if Hal and Hank get rid of him, they are going to be able to hire the right person, right? It's not George, right? For all we know, they're clueless. They've been running these guys out there for years, and they've dealt with the expanded, the luxury tax, pumping in money to the international pool and other teams for the farm system. How do we know that getting rid of them, we can trust them? They've been there for, Cashman's been there for what, 17, 18 years?
Longer.
20 years?
Longer. Yeah. Cashman's been there, like, even before he was GM, like, longer.
Yeah, he's been the 80s. Okay. So since they've put the luxury tax in, they're dedicated to, you know, going under, staying under. If they got to go over, they go over. Right, but what they're doing is they're paying for one guy, and then they dumpster dive for the other because the guys that they are developing don't pan out. Right, so how do I know that their strategy to build the roster, to field the team, to put guys out there and hire the right GM and hire the right manager is worth it? It's not the same thing. And you're right; it's the Yankees. The Yankees are against the Yankees, and the Giants have been brutal. The Yankees, you know, they win 90, 100 games, you know, every year. If they're the Yankees, then this is unacceptable. It's one title, and it's, what, 2009?
16 years. I don't think they're winning it this year.
It is
unacceptable.
So all of the luxury tax money that you don't want to go over, and the teams that do, goes to the Tampa Bays, the Clevelands, the Kansas Cities. And they might not spend it on people, but they're pumping it into Single A, Double A, Triple A. They're pumping it into international signing bonus. They're pumping it in other ways, and the Yankees don't do that. Other than Judge, and I guess Schmidt made the team, who has panned out? Like, look, yo, they sold Devi Garcia as the next Pedro Martinez. They didn't trade him for Luis Castillo. Bro, he's not even in the league.
Thanks for the call, Chris. They did not sell Devi Garcia as the next Pedro Martinez. The kid idolized Pedro Martinez so much so that he wore 45 on his belt. But the Yankees didn't tell you that. if you have the next Pedro Martinez, are you pitching him for an inning and then taking him out in favor of J-Hap? No. But that's, you know, Michael Fishman and Brian Cashman and the Yankees analytics and getting cute and not playing Yankees baseball and going up against the Tampa Bay Rays in that 2020 season thinking that they could play Kevin Cash, Tampa Bay Rays baseball and trick them. You know, when you talk about the funds, too, shout out to my guy that runs the Yankee source on Twitter. He said the Yankees are quietly spending $25,785 and $714 on Aaron Hicks. So, or $25,785,714 on Aaron Hicks. And DJ LeMahieu this year combined. So, like, DJ LeMahieu is 15 of that and then another $10 million on Aaron Hicks. And then if you add Marcus Stroman to that, it's $44,285,714. The Yankees' allocation of funds is always wrong. It's always just, it doesn't make sense. And then he goes on to say Aaron Judge is making $40 million a year. So, like, if you've got $40 million in Judge, deal when you look at what Juan Soto's making now. But then $44 million for Aaron Hicks, who hasn't been on the team in a couple years, DJ LeMahieu, who's been a corpse on the team the last couple years, and Marcus Stroman, who's here, he's going to make a start Wednesday or Thursday. But there's no real... there's no real value in Marcus Stroman. It's just like, damn, how do we end up in those situations? Brian Cashman. These are Brian Cashman moves and deals. And folks are screaming for, oh, they got to extend Belly. Look at the double play Belly made. Look at the hitting streak. He's a Yankee. He wants to be a Yankee. Extend Belly. Look at Jazz. He wants to be a Yankee. He should. They're not going to extend anybody. As I mentioned, Aaron Hicks, they were the ones that got Aaron Hicks and extended him. And they were telling you Aaron Hicks, they were selling you on Aaron Hicks being a top center fielder in baseball. Didn't work out. Was hurt. Ineffective. He was a walk machine for a little while, but like did not hit the way you wanted him to. DJ LeMahieu had to pay him. Had to pay him because he was getting MVP votes. And you got him on a two-year, $24 million deal. And when that was up, the fan base was going to riot, myself included. I wrote a rap for DJ. Like DJ was the bat that we needed in this lineup with Gary Sanchez and Luke Voigt and Stanton and Judge. Like, we needed the guy. He's not that guy anymore. And they won't cut bait with that guy. They paid Josh Donaldson $6 million after they cut ties with him. Okay. So what I'm saying is, these things go on all the time. They die hard on their trades, their contracts, and then their lineup roster decisions. And they end up hamstrung it. They like hamstring themselves for doing other things. I don't know, bro. It is what it is. When I'm judging the Yankees, yes, I'm judging the Yankees, and not even I'm judging the Yankees against the Yankees of the past, because that's what they've conditioned us as fans to know and believe and think. In this era, it hasn't been good enough. The culture has changed. The bar is different. And I think that they've had talent many years, but I think the difference is other teams are grittier. Other teams are hungrier. They want it more. Other teams walk in here knowing, like, I remember the Houston Astros a couple years back talking about how, like, regular season games, oh, those are postseason games for us coming to Yankee Stadium. Like, they relish. They're other teams, you're getting everybody's best shot, and you're not always prepared to give your best shot. You've got starters coming out of the game saying, I'm good here. That's enough. You've got players coming up swinging for the fences, low IQ, not thinking about passing the baton. You've got players making terrible throws. You've got players not knowing how many outs there are on the base pad. Like, you've got guys that aren't as dialed in. Meanwhile, you're going up against opponents every night that are super locked in to beat you because they know they're facing the big bad New York Yankees with the best player in the game and all of these fans and all of this attention and a franchise that's worth $7 billion. Like, if you're worth that much money, the $7 million owed to DJ LeMahieu for the rest of the year should not matter when you get an actual third baseman. When you make a move, it's got to be happy trails. DJ LeMahieu, I had the thought today in the gym, bro. I'm like, okay, we had the rumor last year about Judge protecting DJ. They wanted to DFA DJ allegedly. Shout out to Hubs who put that out there and then said that some beat writers confirmed it. That You know, DJ was Cook last year, but they didn't want to DFA him because of his relationship. I'm like, all right, DJ's been around since 2019. How come they didn't have the same amount of grace and favor for Brett Gardner, who was here longer and won a championship, right? Remember, they kept Brett Gardner's locker open in spring training, but basically it just kind of ran its course. A lot of you turned Brett Gardner into the whipping boy. Oh, my God, I can't believe Brett Gardner's still here, still in the lineup. You know, talking about 2021, you know, how come they didn't have the grace for a guy that won a championship here that was one of the last of that culture? But DJ LeMahieu hasn't won anything here. And DJ LeMahieu is allowed to, like, I don't know, bro. I don't know. I'm sure they hold these guys accountable behind the scenes. Yesterday was a good day because they said enough is enough with the charade. Enough is enough. Parading DJ LeMahieu out there and putting Jazz at third when, yes, you all are right. We said in the offseason, you're the second baseman. Him and Volpe were going to be a team. Like, that's where he was supposed to play. We told y'all it would be a combination of Waldo, Peraza, and DJ at third base. Waldo got hurt. Peraza can't hit. DJ can't field the position. So that shouldn't default into, well, the only position that DJ can play, we're going to play him at. And Jazz, you go play third, because it puts the team at a deficit. And today was a day. And look at what you got in return. Something changed. They did something right. And the team benefited from it. The team came out, and then you could see the defense. You could see the hitting. You could see, you know, how they looked in Yankee Stadium. I hope there's more of that to come. If guys aren't cutting it, they shouldn't be playing. And this is the New York Yankees. The Yankees are supposed to be so famous, they don't have names on the back of their jerseys. Right? They're supposed to be stars at every position. Oh, Keith, you can't have an all-star at every position. I don't literally mean that. I mean, like, they're supposed to be good players, man. They're supposed to be competing. You have all of the resources. You have all of these fans. There are expectations that you have set. And sure, we know, in modern-day baseball, it can't be World Series or bust every single year. Nobody wins like that. Nobody goes back-to-back like that. But, like, the Astros found a way to go to all the ALCSs in a row, win a couple World Series. The Dodgers are always in it. The Dodgers have won a few World Series here, three World Series here, right, in recent time, or two World Series. But they've been to three World Series in recent time. And if you think 2020 doesn't count, whatever, it's still a ring. The Braves are always in it or around it. Even like the Padres as of recently, the Phillies as of recent, like the teams with the talent and the payroll are there. So we're not selling. I expect the Yankees to perform. I expect the Yankees to make some moves at the deadline and try and fortify this roster and this team. And I expect their players to play up and lock in. Okay, they did go through a little bit of a rough stretch. Hopefully that is over. And hopefully they learn from it. You got to lose to know how to win. You got to go through it to get to it. The only way is through. They went through 2 6-game losing streaks in a month. Let's hope that they don't have another one. 888-808-1019. I see the calls lining up. JT Ryan will come to you guys next. I'm running out of time. I need a longer show. But I don't got one. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB. We're wrapping things up, man. I got 20 minutes left. So let's get back to it. You know, going down the rabbit hole, talking about the New York Yankees. It feels good to win. World Series back on. I still don't think they're winning the World Series. I don't think the Mets are winning the World Series. But, hey, we can dream. And maybe I'll change my tune if they actually have good deadlines and add to their teams and get this pitching right. But as of right now, I can't go off of, you know, what I see and say like Clay Holmes. What is Clay Holmes going to be? He's going to be in the bullpen. How many bullpen games are you going to throw? You got to get Manaea back. Like Frankie Montas, David Peterson. We'll see. You got Winker back. Marte goes down. Vientos got to figure it out. Same with the Yankees. There's good players, but there's also question marks. Okay, is Stanton heating up right now? Wells heating up right now? Will Trent Grisham be back in there tomorrow? Dominguez leading off 0-for-5 tonight. I mean, it is what it is. I don't mind it. They got to play Dominguez every day, they say. He's got to get at bats. Is Volpe going to continue to be the whipping boy if they're winning? I mean, Volpe batting eighth. he's got to bat eighth. I think I saw Joel Sherman talk about it. I would bat him ninth because he always comes up and there's guys. Like, you can't bat him ninth. Peraza has to bat ninth. Peraza has got a 157 average and under 500 OPS. You got to bat. Peraza got lucky tonight. All right. 888-808-1019. JT, Long Beach on the Fan in New York.
My man, Keith. Long time. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. First off, I just want to say I was so wrong about Peraza. I thought this guy was going to be our starting shortstop for the next 5-6 years. He lost his – yeah, I heard that oblique. I think it was 2022. It's kind of when, like, Volpe started to shine. And he just never recovered, man. Because this guy can't hit water he fell out of a boat.
Yeah. And with the Yankees, bro, I really feel like – they passed on a trade. Like, they could have probably passed, they could have probably got Luis Castillo or somebody else in the past, and they would not trade Peraza. So they're seeing it through with him. He has no more options. I think I heard Susan Waldman say that, hey, he's going to either be cut or traded in spring, and he is still here in July starting.
There's no value in him. There was a talk I remember about trying to get Pablo Lopez like 2-3 years ago. And the main piece was Peraza.
There you
and
go.
They didn't make the move. He was supposed to be, it was supposed to be Volpe and him. This is before Jazz, of course. But I just don't see the answer at third being him. I personally don't think it's Suarez. Suarez will fit the typical Yankee deadline build where they grab a guy who can hit home runs, who's a good fielder, and he'll strike out 200 times. And then you'll face someone like Valdez.
Joey Gallo like vibes.
Joey Gallo vibes, man. And listen, no disrespect to Suarez. He's had a hell of a turnaround. Everyone thought he was out of the league when he struck out 240 times in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I'll take him at this point. But what are you going to give up for him?
No, I'm not. I think he's going to be at the top of the market where they're going to try and finesse and fleece the Yankees for him. I'm not doing it.
Absolutely. But there's no other answer. What, are you going to look at Ke'Bryan Hayes? He's terrible.
If they'll take a couple lower-level arms for him, yeah. He would help this team.
Yeah.
He'd be better than Peraza hitting. Ryan McMahon would be better than Peraza hitting.
McMahon is another guy, too. He's a Coors Light, Coors Field product. You know,
maybe a couple Coors Lights here and there, yeah. Maybe he has a few of those out there mixed in.
You give me a few of those, I'll be playing turf for the Yankees.
Thanks for the call, JT. 888-808-1019. They have to trade for a third baseman, though. They cannot tell us, hey, well, nothing was out. And if they do, like, if they don't, they sign Nicky Lopez and Jaimer Candelario. So get ready for one of those guys to come up if they're not able to get who they want or the price is not there. But they know. They cannot. The charade is over. Last night was the night. Jazz is back at second base. And Boone met the media. And he was on Talking Yanks, and he talked to everybody about it. It's done. And it's, like I said, I was on with the 5-hour KM to AM on Monday, and I'm like, it's like they do things to the very bitter end and finally are like, you got us. We hear you. You're right. Okay. We thought we could get this off for a little while, but you know what? We gave in. Jazz is back in his position that he should be in, and we'll roll Peraza out. You know, we told DJ, and here's something I didn't say about DJ. They said that they told DJ, and he didn't take it well. Well, I wouldn't expect him to take it well. Like, it's signaling the end of his career. But I don't care. Enough with the pleasantries and the feelings and whatever. Like, yeah, you know, how did he take it? Not great necessarily. Yeah, because he's done. He's done. If they DFA DJ LeMahieu, nobody is picking him up. So he understands he's done. And so what? All right, DJ, sit there and how about you be ready when you're called upon? Be ready to hit in a pinch hit situation when you're called upon. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Northport and talk to Ryan on the Fan. What's up, Ryan?
Yo, my man Keith. How you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a Mets fan, but I'm not a Yankee hater. I actually think the Yankees are two moves away from being in a place where they're coasting to the World Series. I don't see anyone in the American League even putting up a...
The Astros, who have haunted the Yankees, the Tigers, who have already beat the Yankees, managed by A.J. Hinch, Gleyber Torres revenge, the Blue Jays, who just swept the Yankees, the Tampa Bay Rays, who don't fear the Yankees.
Nah, two moves away, the Yankees are winning the AL East by, you know, 4 or 5 games. They're not playing in that wild card game, which is huge for them. And they're gonna right the ship. I'm more confident in the Yankees making it to the World Series right now than the Mets, as
sure.
a Mets fan.
Sure.
To tell you that. You know what I mean? I think the Mets got a better I think the Yankees
the National League is a gauntlet. The National League, anybody here can get hot and make a run. Like, obviously the Dodgers, who are the defending champs, but you can't sleep on the Cubs, the Phillies, the Brewers, the Giants, the Padres. Like, all of them are in the mix.
Keith, I agree. The Cubbies are a sleeper, let me tell you. As a Mets fan, I'm worried about the Cubbies. You know,
they got a bunch of hitters. They can pitch. They're coming to New York this weekend. I'm like, I got to go to some of these games. I kind of fear that they...
I'm supposed to go Sunday, but it's my daughter's birthday, and I'm a Mets fan. I want to go see the Cubbies at the Yankees. You know what I mean? So,
bring your daughter. I think they're giving out that Mo Willems pigeon on that day. It's like a big kids' day this weekend on Sunday.
Okay, I can see that then. You know.
But if she's a Mets fan, she might not want the Yankee plush keychain.
She's a baseball fan. Let me tell you, she's a New York fan. If Daddy takes her to the Yankees, she'll be rooting for the Yankees. You know what I mean? So it's listen, the Yankees got the easier shot than the Mets, in my opinion, for the World Series. But let's see who's more active come the trade deadline, and we'll see.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. Yeah, again, trade deadline. I know I was saying the last couple of nights, I'm like, I wouldn't put a dollar on each one or either one of these teams to win the World Series. I would put a dollar on the Yankees to make it. Just because of the American League and home field advantage and having the best player. And if they make moves at the deadline, maybe I'd feel differently. But we got to wait. Like, the deadline is the 31st. We're still some weeks away. And it takes two to tango. And I just don't think anybody is lining up to hand the Yankees a third baseman, a starter, two relievers. Like, they're just not. They're not going to make it easy for the Yankees to stack the deck and stack this roster. You already have a pretty stacked roster. You've got three all-stars in Judge, Max Fried, Jazz Chisholm. Belly's been playing really well. Goldie has started to turn it around a little bit. Guys in between, like a Trent Grisham, have been good. Devin Williams has been good. Now, if Luke Weaver figures it out, watch out. If Volpe picks it up, watch out. Wells is starting to heat up a bit. Stanton is heating up a little bit. Like, the Yankees have enough talent to win some series. And experience plays. Like, when they get to October, they just did it last year. I think that experience definitely plays. They're not selling. They're going for it. They got added the deadline. And we'll see. We'll see. And at least, like, they don't have to go out west. They got to get through this month of July. Same thing with the Mets. I think the Mets have righted the ship some. And even though they're ravaged by injuries, their Met quartet is still intact. They're, top four guys. They're top four big money guys. And they're back in first place with the Orioles in front of them. So they should be able to sweep the Orioles. And then go to Kansas City, bully with them. And see what happens with the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies, they're battling right now with the Giants, who are no slouch. I just named them as a team in the National League that could get hot and potentially win. And the Phillies, after they face the Giants, they go face the Padres. So this is a week where the Mets should be able to handle business and maybe get a game or two ahead of the Phillies for first place. And then when we come back in the second half, assess where we're at. Add what you need, and you feel confident that David Stearns is going to continue to revamp the bullpen, maybe get you another bat, maybe get you another starting pitcher for this rotation, and off we go. 888-808-1019. Frank is in Baldwin, New York on the Fan next. What's up, Frank?
KMVP. How you doing, my friend?
Good. Thanks, man.
Good. Question, how is the All-Star game going to be? Is the All-Star game determining home field advantage again this year?
No. That's been off for some years now. At least good. 4 years, I feel like that's been off.
So who's got it this year? American League, right?
Well, it's in Atlanta.
Okay.
And Dave Roberts will be managing the National League, and Aaron Boone will be managing the American League.
World Series. Who's got the home field advantage this year?
The team with the better record. Like last year, the Dodgers had a better record than the Yankees, so they got home field advantage.
Yeah. So I have a question. First, a statement. I think, I'm a Mets fan, but that play by Bellinger, I think that's going to be the turning point of your season. The double play against the Mets on Sunday, that was amazing. And I thought, when I saw that, I said, wow, this is the turning point for the Yankees. And I just have a feeling they're going to go on a run after that. I think that really saved the season, that one play. What do you think?
Yeah, it was an amazing play. I've watched it over a bunch of times. I give credit to Paul Goldschmidt as well, because if he would have set up and looked like he was about to receive the ball, maybe Lindor would have slid, and I think that could have been the difference. Cody Bellinger is such a good defender, and it's crazy because he can play anywhere in the outfield and first base. It's great to have the guy, and if that play doesn't get made, I just know that the Yankees, if they tied that game, the Yankees would have been punched in the mouth, and they would have folded, and they would have lost and been swept, and who knows? I don't know. I'll say that's the play of the season and maybe the turning point, especially if they're able to win 3 games in a row here.
So let me ask you a question. You, as a former professional athlete, how do you explain teams like Pirates, they're not as good as everybody else, but they go on a run, or the Marlins and stuff? I mean, just how does that happen in general? I mean, I remember playing sports as a kid, and the better team or the better guy always beat me. You know what I'm saying? It was like, how do you explain something like that in professional sports?
Thanks for the call, Frank. I went pro in beer pong for a little bit, but I played college football, and in college I played with some pros, but I knew I wasn't going pro. I was definitely pro DJ as well. I'm pro sports talk radio, but never played pro, never even tried to play like arena football, Canadian football. Like I just didn't, I gave my scholarship back. That's a little fun fact about me. I gave my scholarship back my 5th year. I didn't even want to play. I didn't care anymore. I football got me into school. Football got me into college. 2 colleges. Had a great time. Got to hang out with a lot of pretty girls. Got to go to a lot of parties. Got to do a lot of great things. Learned a lot. But no, I didn't even try to go pro. I really didn't. You know when you see the guys that go pro, you know the difference. Those are guys that they eat nails for breakfast. They absolutely love football. I like fell out of love with football in college. And then I fell into love with like 15, 20 different chicks. And I found my wife. And then I found my calling. I literally was like, I remember having the conversation my senior year. I switched positions. I played quarterback. I switched to wide receiver to try and get on the field. Cause I'm like, I'm not going to be a depth chart quarterback. My freshman year, I was 4th string. My sophomore year, I was 3rd string. I left James Madison University, came to Monmouth University. The transfer portal did not exist. I had to sit out a year. Sitting out a year, I got to be like a regular student. Once I started to feel what like being a regular student was like, the student athlete life was not for me. I'm like, I'd rather be a regular student. The next year I come back, I freshly turned 21. I get into a fight with my brother outside the bar. My brother pushes me, and I end up stepping off a high curb and breaking my foot. That's May. My foot is not properly healed up by August, but I still show up to training camp, and I'm just popping Advils, and I'm fighting through it, whatever. I'm the 5th wide receiver on the depth chart. After that, I didn't care anymore. I'm just like, I'm riding the bench. This isn't fun. You got to still do all the running and lifting and all that stuff. My 5th year, right, because I was a redshirt freshman, redshirt sophomore, transferred, sat out. Like, by the time I was in my 5th year, and shout out to Chris Hogan, because I remember Chris Hogan transferred from Penn State his 5th year to Monmouth, and it was me, him, it was Jose Gums and some other guys. Jose Gums ended up playing for the Saints, playing for the Redskins. Johnny Nalbone ended up getting drafted by the Dolphins. I played with a bunch of guys, Akeem Nicks. Akeem Jordan played for the Eagles. Me, I wasn't playing for anybody outside of the bars and clubs on the Jersey Shore, being a DJ, MC, promoter. And I literally gave my scholarship back, took out some loans to finish my year. I even dropped out of school because I'm like, I'm not playing football. I'm not going to school. I thought I was going to drop a mixtape, do all this other stuff. But then I ended up going back because I just, like, I had 36 credits to graduate. So I ended up doing summer classes, and I graduated in the fall semester of 2011. And I did that, and I had a radio and television degree. I was a DJ. I was an MC in the bars and clubs and whatever. And I didn't have to get tackled anymore. Never went pro. But how does it happen that the Pittsburgh Pirates, who fired their manager this year, the Pittsburgh Pirates, who were trash and, like, I don't know how many games below 500, like 20 games by, and they sweep the Mets, the make it happen Mets, but then they also sweep the Cardinals, and then they get swept? That's baseball, Susan. Not Susan's brand of baseball, but that's baseball. That's sports. It's competitive. The guys on the other side are millionaires and drive nice cars too, and they're trying to win as well. So that's why we watch all this stuff. That's why you can bet on this stuff. That's why we have all these talk shows and podcasts and fans of these things, because it's unpredictable. Maybe you can predict what's going to happen on Love Island. Maybe you can predict, you know, what's going to happen on, what's that show my wife watches? Georgie and Guinea? Georgie and Guinea Netflix. Ginny and Georgie. Ginny and Georgia. Yeah, I don't watch streaming shows. I watch sports only. But the reason we're so locked in and sports are so compelling, and you guys listen to WFAN till 2 in the morning, and then you're like, I'm not going to sleep yet. Big Mac show is about to start. I'm going to lock in with Big Mac and keep listening. Before you know it, the sun is coming up, because it's like, we care about these players and these teams and these leagues, and we all talk about what we need to happen and what we want to happen, and we don't know what's going to happen. And that is why it's so compelling. There's no rhyme or reason why the Pirates can turn it on and outscore the Mets 30-40 one weekend. And then, like this past weekend, they face the Mariners and they don't score a run. They get swept in Seattle and they don't score a run. So I don't know, man. I don't know. That's sports. You guys, what you love about it too. It's unpredictable. Anybody can beat anybody. It's mano y mano. Inside those lines, anything can go down. Somebody's going to have a good day on the mound. Somebody's going to have a good day in the batter's box. Yesterday was a good day for the Mets and the Yankees in two completely different ways. The Yankees were able to absolutely blow out the Mariners. Should have shut them out. But, you know, you go to Jeff Hartlieb out of the bullpen, and he gives it up. The Mets and the Make It Happen Mets moniker that I gave them, as I'm listening to the game, it's so hard too. And shout out to Big Mac. Like, I feel like Big Mac and I, being the ones that come on at night, also being solo hosts, not with like three other people that can talk, not with consistent producers. Like, I don't know. I've never even talked to Big Mac about this. I mean, he's got a little bit of time and runway, but it is so hard for me at night to watch both the Mets and Yankees games, keep an eye on, like, yo, the Dodgers are losing. Yo, the Blue Jays won again. The Phillies are about to lose. It's so hard to watch two baseball games and chart the games and write notes about little things that happen, and then also, like, clip things from social media. It's a lot. You know, not looking for any type of pity or, like, our job is to talk sports and be ready. But it is not as simple as it seems. And for me, like, I'm listening to the Mets game. I can't watch two baseball games at once. I don't know. I mean, I do turn on, like, MLB Big Inning, which is, like, Red Zone, where they will have a bunch of games on the screen. But, like, how can you actually watch multiple at-bats at once? Like, you need to see what this pitcher is throwing. You need to have an eye on the count. You also need to have an eye on the umpire. These umpires are shenanigans. They're trash. It's standard. They're given outs. They're given strikes. They're, you know, they're affecting the game. That's it, man. That's it. Nobody called to talk about Mike Brown. You Knicks fans are just taking that laying down, huh? What can you do? There's no, you can't fight against it. You got to roll with it. You got to accept. Nobody cared to call. I have one guy that's been on my chat and on my, Mike Brown is legit. Give it a break. Mike Brown's the right guy. Okay. I've seen a lot of the wrong guys roll into there, so good luck. Enjoy the honeymoon. And yeah, and enjoy the win. Mets win, Yankees win, which seems rare as of late. Chris McMonagle is coming up next. Heath McPherson is done. Good night. Sports Radio 101.